I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning, and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. I am your host, Mike Madison. For 2 hours a day from 9 to 11 o'clock, I give you a safe space if you're an independent thinker out there. Don't play parties here. We don't worship any politicians or any political parties. It's a very independent observer show. And I was very excited about doing this show when Trump was president. Started before he was actually inaugurated, and I thought, wow, you want to talk about something interesting to watch over 4 years. This is going to be a term that will be like unlike any others, and I was right about that. But it is also a bit of a sad time, I believe, because we're watching the division in our country right now. Nobody seems to really care at all about what anybody else thinks. Everybody's got their tribes. Nobody's listening to each other, and it seems to be getting to a rather dangerous point. Talked at length about that yesterday, and I'll probably touch on it a little bit today as well, with the NBA and professional sports weighing in and further fanning the flames of the unrest we're seeing. So we'll get to that. And I've also got some, it's really fascinating, interesting market news, financial news, stuff that people should hear. They just won't hear most places. So we'll get to that in just a second, too. Got my quotes of the day today. A hypocrite despises those whom he deceives, but has no respect for himself. He would make a dope of himself, too, if he could. That's William Hazlitt. Charles Peguy, P-E-G-U-Y. Peguy. His quote is, "He who does not bellow the truth when he knows the truth makes himself the accomplice of liars and forgers." And boy, are we loaded up with people like that. He who does not bellow the truth when he knows the truth makes himself the accomplice of liars and forgers. And I got to tell you, when you get into the hyper-partisan world we're in right now, everybody carrying water for one political party or the other or any politician or the other, yeah, they'll carry the water. Carry the water for somebody, making you an accomplice too. Liars and forgers. And this was interesting too. This is, what's the guy's name, Penn Jillette? He is Penn and Teller, the magicians. Penn Jillette penned this. "It's amazing to me how many people think that voting to have the government give poor people money is compassion. Helping poor people and suffering people yourself is compassion. Voting for our government to use guns to give money to help poor and suffering people is immoral, self-righteous, bullying laziness. People need to be fed, medicated, educated, clothed, and sheltered. If we're compassionate, we'll help them. But you get no moral credit for forcing other people to do what you think is right. There is great joy in helping people, but no joy in doing it at gunpoint." And that's a good explanation of the libertarian point of view, which is all taxation is theft, and particularly when it's to politicians who pat themselves on the back for taking it from one group and giving it to another. A really strange thing has been happening over the last couple of days. I don't know if anybody has noticed it. Now, you may have heard some news about a hurricane that has come up that has gained a little bit of steam. Ended up, I believe, topping out at a Category 4. This is Hurricane Laura. I've watched with great fascination over the last couple of days the news coverage of exactly what's going on in coastal cities along the Gulf Coast to prepare for Laura. And here's what happened. It is shocking. I didn't know we still did this kind of thing. Weather authorities, emergency managers across the Southeast have been informing their citizens of a danger. As they learn more about the hurricane, its strength, its wind speeds, the rainfall totals they expect, the storm surge. What they do is they just inform people. And then people made up their own minds as to what to do. How about that in 2020? Now, I'm sure in some places there have been what are considered mandatory evacuations. But not for the millions of people that are potentially affected by this thing. If there were a few thousand people under a mandatory evacuation, which I'm not a fan of the government coming with a gun to force an American to do anything. If you want to ride out a storm and risk your life and they tell you, hey, look, no emergency responders coming to get you. We're not risking our lives to come save you because you won't leave. I understand that, but it's just fascinating. Just think about that for a second. The governments of Louisiana and Texas and at the federal level are allowing people to make their own decisions. I haven't heard about huge business closures and forcing this or forcing that, and rounding up people at gunpoint, arresting people if they're still in areas that could have gusty winds. What they did was, and this is so old-fashioned, this is back before the government grew to $5 trillion a year budget and politicians that knows in every nook and cranny of our life, they just informed the people, hey, big storm coming, looks to be a bad one, expect a lot of rainfall, probable storm surge. And look, it sounds to me like what I saw in the news this morning, they may have gotten the storm surge a little wrong. It's been less than they anticipate. No harm, no foul. That's okay. Weather's not a perfect predictive science. I don't fault them for that. But are you getting what I'm putting down here? See, with COVID, they didn't inform. Well, they informed us, and then they told us what we're going to do in response to it. They didn't trust anybody to take the risk, reward, the cost-benefit analysis of how to respond to COVID. They didn't trust any of us with that. They told us what we would do. And they were wrong about a ton of things when it came around COVID, too, but with the hurricane model that we're seeing right now, I just want to make sure I'm driving this point home, that people understand this is how you treat a free society. If you're a busybody or a bureaucrat in the government and your job is to monitor weather, then you go knock yourself out. You go monitor that weather the best you can. And then pass along that information. Governments steal money from American citizens at the local, state, and federal level constantly to pay your salary. So it'd be nice if you hooked us up with a little bit of information in your specialty. So let us know what the risk is, and then let us make up our own minds. There were even, I saw buses taking people. There were evacuating people. I can't remember what town it was from. I said some people who didn't have the means to evacuate themselves, there were buses there. I don't know if they were government-provided buses. I don't know if charities did it. I don't know if the bus lines donated these buses to help some people that couldn't move by themselves. But they weren't putting people on the buses at the point of a gun. They weren't shackling people and putting people on the buses. What they did was they said, hey, if you are concerned, we've given you all the facts about the storm that you need to know. Here's the wind speed. Here's the storm surge. Here's where we expect it to hit. Here's the rainfall totals. Here's where it may flood. And if this is concerning you, there are some buses over here that can help get you to higher ground. And then people, this is just shocking that the government allowed this to happen. People took all that information in and they made decisions for themselves. Isn't that refreshing? After the last 6 months of the decision power of people being stripped from them, during a hurricane, they allowed people to make their own decisions. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Some people will make a bad decision. Some people may have stayed in harm's way and thought they could ride it out and got themselves into a little bit of trouble. You know what that's called? Life. In a free country, it's not always perfect, and you can't count on every single person to make the exact right decision. But to me, it's preferable from having a bunch of bureaucrats and politicians coming and forcing you to do anything. The sad stories notwithstanding, I'm sure we may see some. Somebody who thought they could ride it out and they got into a little bit of trouble. Storm surge caused foundation off the tracks. We may have lost somebody in the floodwaters. That's a shame. It really is. It's sad. I don't minimize that. But living in a free country, it's not always easy. You got to make up your own minds. Had they approached COVID the same way that they did for the vast majority of people when it comes to this hurricane, meaning if you're with the CDC and your whole damn job you've been working at for 40 years on taxpayer dollars is to tell, you know, let us know how a pandemic might affect us, then you do that. You go do you. We've been paying you for decades. Now is when time to put up or shut up. And inform us, and then let us make our own decisions. If somebody cuts hair, you tell them how contagious it is and what you think might be the consequence and ways to possibly mitigate the risk. And then let that barber decide if they're willing to take that risk or not. They may have stayed home and closed their barbershop, but that was on them. It was their decision, not yours, Anthony Fauci, not yours, Thomas Dobbs, not yours, Tate Reeves. It's just refreshing, and I wanted to make sure that people saw it because it probably is going to work out pretty well. Now, there's going to be some storm damage. There's going to be some roofs missing. There may be some tornadoes. I mean, there's all kinds of bad things when Mother Nature strikes. There are consequences. That's life on planet Earth in a free country. It's just called life. But when you juxtapose the way that the government just informs and recommends to most of the people in the path of a hurricane versus the way they handled COVID, which was they declared and then dictated, I'll take the hurricane strategy anytime. People generally will make the decisions that are in their best interest and in the best interest of their loved ones. They don't need to be forced. I'm just glad to know that we still have a little bit of freedom out there to make decisions when faced with something potentially dangerous, with a risk. I'm glad to know that our federal government and our state governments will still allow us to make up our minds about a few things. Because it seems like they're heading in the other direction where everything is done by dictate and by force. We've unleashed a wave of petty tyrants across this country that, I got to tell you, took me by surprise. I'm talking about mayors, city council, school superintendents, governors, health authorities. Everybody getting their little cling at the power to force people to do things. This is a much better model. Government's role, if it has to have a role in these things, is to inform, maybe offer some advice with their expertise, and then just leave us the hell alone. We'll figure it out. I'll be right back.
If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at danksmillercorey.com.
Got the stuff going on in Kenosha. We've got the Republican National Convention going on. Mike Pence, the cyborg, spoke last night. The guy's, he's not human. He's not, he's part robot. There may be some flesh and blood. I don't know the technology, you know, they talk about kind of
what do they call it? The black black operation, something like that. The technology we don't know about. Mike Pence is the first cyborg vice president. They're grooming him for something else. I don't know what it is. The guy's just not fully human. Whether you like him or don't like him, it's fine. He's programmed the way he's programmed, but to watch that wooden man give a speech, and what I love about Mike Pence is his predictability, because he will tell you something, and then he'll tell you something else, and then he'll tell you something else. And that's your cue to applaud. There is no mistaking when Mike Pence is expecting applause. I mean, he announces it right out there. But anyway, while all that stuff is going on that I know most people will be talking about today, I'm noticing that the financial system in the United States and the wealth in this country is being stolen by a very small group of people. And I thought I'd just let you know. I mean, if anybody cares, I mean, we can talk about Kenosha. There's some really pretty sad stuff coming out of there right now, particularly this kid, this poor kid. We'll talk about that, but I don't know. I would kind of want to know if somebody was, while I was watching TV in my house, if somebody had snuck in the back window and was taking everything out of my safe, I'd want to know. Apparently, I mean, judging by the Sean Hannity show, or anything, I don't watch Sean Hannity's show, but just I get the vibe of most of the national conservative talk show hosts. They don't believe anybody's interested in it, but as I say, somebody's broken into your back window. They've crawled in. They're laying in your bed drinking champagne and smoking cigars while one of their buddies goes in and takes everything out of your safe while you're watching the TV glued to Kenosha or the RNC or the DNC last week. And it's everybody. It's both parties. I don't care if we're Republican, Democrat, black, white, liberal, conservative. They're in all of your houses and they're stealing everything out of the safe. So this is just considered a heads up. 1.1 million more. Well, no, actually, 1 million more people filed for unemployment. It's a little bit of an improvement from the 1.1 million last week. But it's the 22nd out of the last 23 weeks where over 1 million Americans have filed for initial unemployment claims. Just, you know, that's the downer side. But I always try to give you a bright side, too. So on the bright side, Jeff Bezos becomes the world's first $200 billion man. Last week, Apple became the first $2 trillion company. This week, Jeff Bezos is now worth $200 billion. First person to ever cross that line, at least publicly. We know there's some of the people in the shadows. Trillions in wealth. But recognized, Jeff Bezos, now the world's richest man. He has made $200 billion, or not made, he is worth $200 billion. So that's the upside. A million Americans lose their job. Jeff Bezos cracks the $200 billion net worth figure. Those equal out, don't they? I mean, you take the livelihood from 1 million Americans and boost up one guy's come on. That's the new system we've got. And it gets worse, too. Just wait. I've got some statistics today that are shocking. Again, while everybody's watching everything else, I'm the one that's going to tell you. Somebody's broken into your house. They're stealing all your stuff. And your children's stuff, too, I might add. Yesterday, I saw this. For those who see 2020 emerging as the peak year for corruption in U.S. capital markets, or what is left of them now that the Fed is in charge of everything, the SEC just gave you a big thumbs up. You know the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission? Check this out. Moments ago, the top U.S. regulator voted to ease rules on a company's business, legal proceedings, and risk disclosures. Paradoxically, at a time when frauds like Wirecard run rampant and not even their auditors can catch them in the act. Of course, enabling fraud would sound very professional. Wouldn't sound very professional. So instead, the SEC said in a statement that it had modernized the description of business. What it really meant is that it will now be even easier for companies to engage in fraud and have a perfectly legal claim that the SEC never required them to disclose various shady aspects of their business. Now, funny that the SEC would suddenly let companies get away with so many new things. We're going to take a look in just a second. Who's in charge of the SEC that could be making these kinds of decisions? Well, I've got a quote for him here. He says, "Today, we modernized our public company's business disclosure rules for essentially the first time in over 30 years, That was said by SEC Chairman Jay Clayton. More on him in just a second. Building on our time-tested principles-based disclosure framework, the rules we adopt today are rooted in materiality and seek to elicit information that will allow today's investors to make more informed investment decisions. I'm particularly supportive of the increased focus on human capital disclosures, which for various... blah, 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 blah. The SEC just gave a gift to Wall Street, another of many. Let's take a look at who runs the SEC. I've talked about it before here, but I know there's new listeners all the time, and you may not be familiar with the name Jay Clayton. I got a buddy who listens to the show occasionally. He's like, I don't know who you're talking about all the time. So I want to make sure I explain it to everybody who these people are. Like when I talk about the defense secretary we have here, I always make sure I tell you he's a former Raytheon executive, right? And when I talk about Alex Azar at Health and Human Services, I always want to make sure people understand he's also a former executive at Eli Lilly Pharmaceutical Company. See, this is how these things work. It's truly interesting to behold. Let's talk a little bit about Jay Clayton at the SEC. Now, you can just, in your mind, as I tell you Jay Clayton's bio here, think to yourself, do you think Jay Clayton is doing things to get tough on Wall Street firms or to go easy on Wall Street firms? Now, again, this is against the backdrop of millions of small businesses in the United States being shut down by the same government that Jay Clayton works for and forced out of business and into bankruptcy. But Jay Clayton's changing the rules on disclosures for Wall Street firms. Here's Jay Clayton, our SEC chairman's. Here's what he's been up to the few years before he got to the SEC. After being a summer associate at the firm in the summer of 1992, Jay Clayton joined Sullivan and Cromwell first full-time in October of 1995 and became a partner in January 2001. At Sullivan and Cromwell, again, remember, this is Jay Clayton, the guy who now is in charge of enforcement on Wall Street, okay? He's like the top cop on Wall Street, supposedly. At Sullivan and Cromwell, Clayton was a member of the firm's management committee and co-managing partner of the firm's general practice group. He specialized in mergers and acquisitions transactions and capital markets offerings and represented prominent Wall Street firms, including Goldman Sachs. He served as an advisor to numerous companies regarding issues related to the SEC, Federal Reserve, Department of Justice, and other agencies, meaning this guy who now heads the SEC and has just made the disclosure requirements on Wall Street a little bit easier for him so they can get away with a little more stuff. He used to advise them on how to deal with the SEC. He's essentially in charge of enforcement against his own clients. How you think that's going to go? Jay Clayton also, he has also helped multiple corporations raise money through initial public offerings, including Alibaba Group. That's right, the giant Chinese Amazon. Ally Financial, Oxif Capital Management, Oak Tree Capital Management, Blackhawk Network Holdings, and Molis and Company. During the financial crisis of 2007-2008, Goldman advised Bear Stearns on its fire sale to J.P. Morgan Chase in 2007, Barclays Capital in the purchase of Lehman Brothers assets following their bankruptcy, and Goldman Sachs in connection with the investment by Berkshire Hathaway. A guy that's been representing Wall Street firms and will represent them again. You think he's going to pee in that punch bowl while he's in charge of enforcement? Again, this is your United States government. And it's happening under Donald Trump the same way it happened under Barack Obama. When Barack Obama's SEC chief and his attorney general, Eric Holder, had no interest in prosecuting any of the Wall Street crimes that led up to almost the complete dismantling of the financial system, threw millions of people out into the streets and out of their homes. And Barack Obama, that man of the people, didn't see fit to prosecute anybody for their crimes leading up to the financial crisis. Well, the fix is still in. And Jay Clayton, the former Wall Street banker attorney, is now in charge of monitoring Wall Street. And just yesterday, he made things just a little bit easier for these Wall Street firms. Good luck out there, investors. But it gets worse. It gets worse. Great article from Peak Prosperity by a guy named Adam Taggart. Wait till you hear some of the statistics he throws at us in this piece. Stay with me.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. When you tune into the show, you're going to get something different. I know LeBron James said some stuff, and it made us mad. It's true. I'll get to some of that stuff in a little ways. Here's what I have to say about LeBron James. LeBron James, I don't think, has ever gotten a nickel from me. I don't even really. Do I know who he plays for right now? I'm not even sure. I don't buy his products. I may have spent some money with a company that sponsors him, so theoretically maybe some of my money is filtered up to him. What is interesting about the LeBron James and the NBA boycotting the games last night for this stuff in Kenosha, I saw it really is pretty amazing. I saw some tearful players and coaches talking about the fact that they're being murdered in the streets and can't go on. I'm sympathetic to them in some ways, but it's really shocking sometimes the different the issues that they grab onto. I mean, this guy is not the guy that was shot put the police into a situation where they had to shoot him. There are plenty of bad shootings in this country to get angry about. And here's a little thing. There's a bunch of them or white people are murdered by police, too, that conservatives should be angry about, not just because they're white. You should be mad anytime the government overreaches and does bad things. But anyway. What's interesting to me is I've just watched The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary, for the second time. I saw it when it was on television, and then I've watched it again on Netflix. I mean, it's really well done, very interesting, and I'm just fascinated. Michael Jordan was just so good. It's pretty amazing to see anybody that is as good as something as he was. And he makes it look effortless on the court, and then you see how much work he actually put into it. It's an inspiring story, but it's a well-done documentary. But the kind of the thrust of the documentary was that while Magic Johnson and Larry Bird, you know, kind of brought the NBA into some prominence, Michael Jordan turned it into the entertainment powerhouse that it became. I mean, took it to a whole nother level. What we're watching now is them tearing it right back down. And the NBA is in the process of destroying itself. So that'll be kind of interesting to watch. LeBron James will retire with, you know, he'll be fine. But the damage that they're doing to the league right now will probably last for a long, long time. So we'll see what Michael Jordan built. LeBron James and some of these other players may tear down. But I'm more interested in some of these other things. As I say, while everybody's watching LeBron James and the stuff in Kenosha and the RNC, somebody's broken into our back windows and they are stealing all our stuff. And I thought I'd give everybody a heads up. This is from a piece by Adam Taggart. He writes for Peak Prosperity. They put out a lot of very interesting stuff, but you have to be a bit of a financial nerd like me. But this is a pretty simple article for anybody to understand. And just let me let you know, I'm going to mention the Federal Reserve again, because it's one thing if blacks and whites and Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals all understood what the Federal Reserve has done to us and is doing to us, we might stop slapping each other around and handle up on that business first. But we don't.
Anyway, I want you to listen to some of these statistics here, just to let you know, again, a million more people lost their jobs last week. Hundreds of thousands of businesses are going belly up. People will soon be in the streets, probably from some levels of eviction and foreclosure because of the destruction to our economy. Let me tell you where everything is going. This is called a wealth transfer. I've talked about it a lot. Central banks, this is from Adam Taggart. I'm going to read some of this article to you. Central banks are killing our currency to protect the already rich. They had a recent article, It's Time to Prepare, Position for the End Game. Chris Martinson explained how the U.S. Federal Reserve and its sister central banks around the world have been engaged in the largest and most egregious wealth transfer in all of history, one that has been drastically exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic. And I think I started talking about this in March when I saw the Fed's reaction to COVID, which was to immediately start bailing out large corporations, cities, towns, all of the moneyed interest. The lobbying class was getting trillions of dollars while they were debating whether or not you were going to get a $1,200 check and how quickly they could get to you. I mean, the Federal Reserve jumped into action and the big moneyed elite had their money the next day. And I started talking about this great wealth transfer. I talked about it on Monday, I believe, about how low interest rates are a wealth transfer from the savers in America, our retirees and other people, straight to the pockets of the moneyed elite. The official response, tremendous monetary stimulus by the central banks paired with massive fiscal stimulus from national legislatures, has been pitched as, quote, saving the system. Yet in reality, it has merely served to accelerate the transfer of capital from the public into the pockets of the already rich. In concert with a surge of liquidity, national legislatures have added their own emergency measures. In the U.S. alone, the CARES Act pushed nearly $3 trillion in fiscal stimulus into the system and will highly likely soon be followed by another $1 to $3 trillion, depending on which party's bill gets passed. Despite these staggering sums, the amount of money trickling into the average U.S. household has been meager and is drying up. Instead, these trillions are mostly finding their way into the coffers and share prices of corporations. This is the great stock market rebound that Donald Trump, I guess, is bragging about. That you're destroying the financial future of this country by printing up a bunch of money. It's resulting in a stock market that has no bearing on the actual underlying economy. We've got a stock market at record highs when we just had the worst quarter of GDP in our nation's history. Do you not understand that that's not congruent? Instead, these trillions are mostly finding their way into the coffers and share prices of corporations. We have seen the fastest and most extreme V-shaped recovery in the history of the financial markets since the March swoon. The major indices are now back to record all-time highs, despite the major carnage COVID-19 has wrecked on the global economy. So, who benefits from that? Oh, yeah, the people who own those companies, the already rich. And no, you didn't just tune into some leftist show. We're talking about the elites here, the 0.01%. Not the 1%. That's your plumbers and your attorneys and your doctors and successful business owners who've worked for their money, who actually work hard to earn their money. Now, this is for the people who essentially do basically nothing. Chris Martinson refers to this as the Leave No Billionaires Behind program. Now, I've referred to it as the Reverse Robin Hood Rescue Plan. I like his, too. Reverse Robin Hood being they are stealing from the poor and giving to the wealthy. When I come back, I guess I need to take a quick break. When I come back, I'm going to chart you. This is pretty amazing to watch. I'm going to chart you the growth of the wealth of the, and this might be the 0.001%, the billionaire class in the United States. And you have to think about it at the same time you think about the food lines around this country. You have to think about it as you look at the businesses shut down, the tearful business owners who shut down businesses that have been around for generations, the hospitality workers who can't feed their families right now, and there's 600 billionaires in this country. When I come back, I'm going to kind of chart their growth over just a 2020 month by month. It is actually quite staggering. Real quick, though, I'll take a call. Caller, are you with me?
Yes, good afternoon.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well. I am loving the program right now, my friend.
Thank you.
You are nailing it right where it needs to be talked about.
It's amazing that it's not talked about anywhere. The media doesn't seem to be interested. Sean Hannity doesn't seem to be interested. Nobody seems to be interested in the greatest wealth transfer into the hands of the uber elite that we have ever seen, and it's happening real time right in front of us, and nobody seems to care.
You're absolutely correct, and we're too busy with all the other issues and getting at each other's necks over other situations rather than paying attention to the fact that this has been a heist and this money is going right back to the 0.1%. And I'm very happy that you made the distinction that it's not the 1%. We have to be very clear that it is
right.
Not attorneys, it's not lawyers, it's not doctors, it's not business owners. It's the ultra, ultra wealthy that
right.
are going to be benefiting from these large dividends that are going to be paid out. And this money is not going to trickle down to Joe the plumber or Francisco the butcher. It's not going to go to our class. It's not going to go to the middle class. It's not even going to go to the upper middle class or the upper, upper class.
No.
This money is going straight to the wealthiest of the wealthy. And we are too busy fighting with each other instead of realizing what's going on and that we're not getting a trickle down from it. We're lucky if we kept the job.
You're exactly right. And what is really driving me crazy, because what's happening in the streets, the unrest is getting very dangerous. We are now killing each other, literally killing each other in the streets in this unrest. Yet this crime is being perpetuated against black and white. Rich, you know, upper middle class all the way down, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal. We are all victims of what is going on right now, this great wealth transfer.
Agreed. And it would have been a fantastic time to take a look at the socio-political and socio-economic status of certain demographics and areas and implement policies. If we were gonna just write a blank check of this magnitude, we could have had a much better impact on the community as a whole and taken money to the real issues that are the underlying iceberg of the symptoms of depression, stress.
Exactly.
Everything that's going on today, in my opinion, has to do with a lack of generational wealth for many people and not having a safety net from which to bounce off of. I myself am blessed and lucky. My parents paid for my college. Even as an immigrant, they were able to help me out and set me up. My wife, who is not an immigrant, she's a natural born citizen from Illinois. She had student debt. She didn't have that safety net. She didn't have that generational wealth that we came with and created. And it scares me to know that there's millions of people out there that never had the safe net I had by sheer luck. I wish everyone had certain safety nets that don't let them get to that brink of sadness and depression that hurts others.
Well, what's aggravating to me or disappointing or discouraging, whatever, people don't understand that the reason we have unrest in the streets, the reason we're seeing the violence, that is a symptom of the problem that we're talking about right now. The people that feel they've been screwed by this system, and it's a big group too, because Donald Trump was elected by a bunch of people who realized that this country had been hijacked and was not the same America that they thought it was. And so it's right and left. But the unrest, the plight of the inner cities, there's so many problems that we're seeing the result of right now, and they are actually caused by what we're talking about right now with Federal Reserve policy and this incredible wealth inequality. People have been left behind, and we have to tie these things together. Sure, there's racial stuff, and sure, there's some police brutality needs to be dealt with. There are things that happen. But you break apart a country falls apart with this kind of wealth inequality, and it's these gangsters who are taking money from the average American.
These white-collar gangsters.
Yes.
Not forget, these white-collar gangsters.
Right. Yeah, they are the ones that are ultimately at the root of all this. Man, I really do appreciate the call. I got to run to a quick break.
Yes, sir. Thank you for everything you do. I appreciate the equality in conversation.
Hey, thanks so much, man. Call anytime.
Yes,
bye-bye.
Sir. Take care.
All right, quick break, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to give you the month-by-month, blow-by-blow path of the billionaire class here in the United States during COVID-19. Be right back.
All night, with the king.
food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul.
The plight of the billionaire during coronavirus. So let's frame this real quick. Over 50 million people have been forced on unemployment. 28 million, 29 million of them still reside there. Hundreds of thousands of small businesses have gone belly up. People are at risk at mass evictions and foreclosures in this country right now. Let's take a look at how the billionaire class has fared during 2020. This is what Chris Martinson refers to as the Leave No Billionaire Behind program. I've been calling it the Reverse Robin Hood Rescue Plan. Between March and April of 2020, as COVID was getting kicked off, the Fed added a staggering $2.82 billion to the bottom line wealth of U.S. billionaires. This is about 600 people. Billionaires, this is the headline from April 26. Billionaires grow $282 billion richer during coronavirus. But that wasn't enough, so the Fed kept on printing and buying and buying and buying more financial assets held, of course, by anyone, the ultra-wealthy. By May 2020, the total added became $434 billion to the billionaire class, making all U.S. billionaires more billionary. But that wasn't enough either. So the Fed printed more, increased the total by $583 billion by June. Here's the headline from Newsweek. Billionaires get $583 billion richer since coronavirus began. This is 600 people in this country. And yep, you guessed it, it didn't stop there. By July, the grand total was up to $637 billion of new wealth to about 600 people in this country. Again, this is during the biggest dip in U.S. gross domestic product in the history of our country. The most rapid deceleration of an economy ever. I think we're going to be faced with a homelessness crisis. We've got evictions. We've got small businesses, mom and pop shops. Main Street has been crushed. But month after month after month, the actions by the Federal Reserve and your politicians, who either spurred this, encouraged it, or ignored it, has resulted in $637 billion floating to the tippy top, that 0.001%. It's about 600 people. I've got a few more statistics I'm going to start next hour with on that, too. Some shocking stuff. This is happening to all of you, conservative, liberal, black, white, young, old. This is theft.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much. You tell me that you love me so.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me. I am kind of... You know, when I do my health show, one of the big things, I am an adherent to a natural approach to health in a lot of ways. And what I preach on my, I guess you call it preaching, probably what it is. Maybe that's not a positive connotation, but
the natural approach to health is to get to the root of the problem, not address the symptoms. Most pharmaceutical drugs address symptoms. And the problem that's still going on inside your body is not addressed. It's just taking care of the symptoms of that. And unfortunately, as the condition inside you continues to go unchecked and you're just trying to tamp down some of the symptoms, it actually wreaks more havoc and then leads to other things breaking down. And so to really reclaim your health, you've got to get to the root of the problem. If you're not getting enough of this nutrient or that nutrient, you know, the heart, the lungs, the liver, the pancreas, they all need different things. And when you provide them with those, your body operates well. And when you don't, it manifests in problems for you. Instead of just addressing those problems, trying to tamp down those effects, you go in and you repair the heart, the lungs, the kidney, the pancreas. It's the same with our country. When you see riots in the streets, understand that those build up, and the wealth inequality in this country, the people who think they've been screwed are right. Now, not to make any excuses for anybody, to anybody on the left who thinks that's carte blanche permission to say or a justification to go burn down somebody's business, you're insane. You're acting like a child. But the wealth inequality, the problems that a lot of people, the frustration, the anger that you're seeing on the streets right now is because of stuff like what I'm talking about with the way the Federal Reserve, the way Jay Clayton just gave a pass to people on Wall Street. Jay Clayton, our SEC commissioner in the Trump administration, and again, it's the same way in every administration. The cronies go in there and they pave the way for the true elites, what I would call the donor class. And when you say the donor class, understand these are the people that control campaigns. You know, the successful doctor or lawyer or plumber or small business owner or anybody that's achieved some level of success, even if they're making $5 million a year, if they give $100,000 to one candidate for something, they may get a little favor. But they don't control the system. I'm talking about the donor class, the ones that our Congress have been bought and paid for by. They control stuff. And so the anger that is out on the streets, and it's everywhere, isn't it? It's in the poor communities. They don't understand Federal Reserve. They don't understand the reason for this wealth inequality. They need to listen to this show. I'll give them a primer on it, but they don't understand it. So they have to lash out at whatever they're given, and that's racism right now. It's ridiculous. It's not the cause of your problems. What I'm talking about is the cause of your problems. For the Trump supporters out there, you were equally angry in 2016. You realized that the system had been rigged against us, that the middle class was dying in this country, and you lashed out by electing Donald Trump. But if you don't get to the heart of this matter, the cronyism, if you don't hold Trump accountable for putting a Wall Street attorney in charge of Wall Street, then you're never going to fix anything. Trump will just go down as a troll of the left. This is such important stuff, because if we get to the core of the problem, again, what I talk about in the show, a lot of what I talk about in the show affects everybody equally, because I don't play this partisan, this red versus blue team. That's divide and conquer stuff. If we get a civil war, you and I are the ones that die in the streets. You and I are the ones that will lose our livelihoods. You and I are the ones that will have to live through the chaos. The donor class will sit back and watch. They'll probably pop popcorn. They see no party. Last little statistic on this growth of the billionaires since coronavirus, again, in light of tens of millions of Americans losing jobs, losing homes, losing apartments, the financial stress that will destroy marriages for us out here in the flyover country. Well, it's not even flyover country. I mean, New York City has been decimated, absolutely destroyed. But the billionaire class is doing great. The amount of wealth that they have gathered over the last 6 months is but roughly equivalent to Adam Taggart, who wrote this piece for Peak Prosperity, is about 3.3% of the value of the entire economic output of all of us. 600 people have gotten 3.3% of the economic output of 160 million of us. That's the number of people that are in the workforce in this country. That's essentially, and he broke it down. I like the math. I do the math on this show a lot. He did the math. He said, basically, it's for every billionaire. It's like they got the entire economic output of 9,020 people so far this year already. Everything you've worked for, everything you've produced for yourself, for your employer. 9,020 of you out there all went to one person, one of these 600 billionaires in this country. And look, I'm a capitalist guy. Someone comes out and literally cures cancer. That person should become a billionaire. They put the work in. They invested their own time and resources into coming up with this cure. And they deserve to get massively rich from that because that's free market stuff. Give people something that they want, a good, a product, a service, anything that really delivers that people voluntarily buy, and I hope you get rich beyond your wildest dreams. And then do whatever you want to with your money. I like charity stuff, but that's up to you, man. You'll create so many jobs and help so many families. I mean, that's the beauty of capitalism. So I'm all for somebody getting extraordinary wealth. I'm not in favor of the Federal Reserve printing money and funneling it to them and signing our name as collateral onto the debt. And that's what's happening. And I would say for every person who mentions the word Federal Reserve today, on the right or the left, 1 million people will mention the name LeBron James. I don't like LeBron James' political bent at all. I'm not necessarily a fan of his. To be honest with you, I really couldn't care less. But he does hold a lot of sway. And I think he is leading people down a dark path. He is stirring up the pot. But LeBron James isn't stealing any wealth from my kids. So we'll talk about him a little bit here and there. But, what the NBA does, it's like I said before, I mean, I'm watching this massive wealth transfer from the middle class of America on down to the uber elites in this country who were producing essentially nothing. This is just through financial engineering. Jeff Bezos did not just become worth $200 billion because Amazon got better over the last 6 months. No, he got this new wealth because Wall Street is benefiting from the government's reaction to coronavirus, the endless money printing. That's how he got that wealthy. Jeff Bezos, for creating Amazon, deserves to be a wealthy dude. Now, Amazon, there's all kinds of problems with it, with what it does to local economies that I don't really like. But when you want to talk about free market capitalism, this guy put access to just about any product you want at your fingertips, and he'll deliver it to you next day. He figured that out. And I'm sure he wasn't the first person to try, so he was the guy who did it right. So he should be wealthy. But he hadn't done anything in the last 6 months while America burns to earn another $100 billion, it's Federal Reserve policy and government policy that has had that money flow into the stock of his company, not the performance of his company. It's also the fact that the government came in and shut down whole economies and funneled a bunch of new customers to Amazon while Wall Street burns, literally in some cases. This is not capitalism. This is cronyism. So I'm all for people getting rich by providing a good or a service that people voluntarily want to buy. I am not for all this financial manipulation. And again, I can't say it enough. When the layoffs came this year because of what they did and this ridiculous hysteria surrounding coronavirus, black people and white people and Asian people and Hispanic people lost jobs. All four of those groups will also lose homes. All four of those groups will suffer financial stresses. Marriages will fall apart. So all this division we've got in the streets where we're smacking each other around, hitting each other with baseball bats, and now shooting and killing each other, all of us are suffering the same problem. We just don't know how to get in the minds of the other people. We don't want to hear anything from anybody. We don't want to discuss anything. We don't want to take in any new facts. We just want to react emotionally. We want to scream racism. We want to scream that Trump is a Nazi. We want to scream libtard. There's one other story I'm going to get to when I come back that is equally as aggravating to me. And I don't know if you've seen this video. You can go to my Gab page. I don't do Facebook. So funny to watch all the conservatives rail against the globalists and the elites and the left-wing tech media on Facebook itself as you enrich Mark Zuckerberg. I don't get it. I don't get it. Anyway, I've moved over to Gab. And you can go to Gab and search for The Mike Madison Show. I've got this story on there. Some American troops yesterday had to turn tail and run from forces in Syria. I'm going to talk about that because this is another one of those things. In these couple of armored vehicles of innocent American soldiers that were forced halfway around the world to steal oil from another country are probably blacks and whites, some middle class, lower class, upper middle class, Republicans, Democrats, liberals, conservatives. When they were chased yesterday, they're sitting ducks over there while Americans just sit here and allow them to be essentially over there with a target on their backs. It was terrible. I'm going to talk about it in just a second, but you can go see the story on my Gab.com page. It's The Mike Madison Show. I went to Gab. I'm not enriching Mark Zuckerberg anymore. Be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Of big things that get me pretty fired up. One is this financial heist that's going on right behind our... It's going on in front of our faces, but we turn our backs on it to look at all the shiny things they tell us to go look at. Mainstream media doesn't cover a lot of the stuff I cover. Republicans, Democrats don't talk about a lot of the stuff I cover because it's a game to them, and they're all winning. That's why they don't want it exposed. You and I, not so much. One of the biggest cons that's pulled on the American people is the war machine. And there was a story yesterday. It's just really, really outrageous. And I do encourage you. You can find this somewhere else. The story was on Zero Hedge is where I ran across it first. You can find it there. You can go to gab.com, search for The Mike Madison Show. I think I've got 17 followers there. Gab, kind of this rebel outpost out there. Everybody insists on staying on Facebook while they badmouth Facebook. Anyway, it's a story of yesterday. U.S. soldiers, and there's just amazing video of it. U.S. troops have been left in Syria to, air quotes here in the studio, secure the oil. Now, that's kind of like when they call, when they give Wall Street banks money and they call it stimulus. When they monetize the debt and call it quantitative easing. Now, what we're doing in Syria is we're stealing their oil. It's called piracy. It's called theft. We're stealing oil from another sovereign country because we don't want them to be able to rebuild after we essentially funded a civil war in that country to destroy the entire country. We don't want them to be able to rebuild either. So Trump has ordered our troops to stay in Syria to steal their oil, and a couple of weeks ago allowed an American oil company to sign a contract to profit from that oil. The problem is the Syrians are not going to sit by and allow an American oil company to come in and steal their oil, so it has to be protected. And who do they use to protect that oil? Anyone, anyone, anyone? Our troops. They're surrounded, our troops, it's maybe 1,000 to 2,000 troops are in there, along with support personnel and private contractors. They're surrounded in hostile territory, stealing someone else's oil. Can you imagine if the China came and took over the West Texas oil fields? You think a bunch of Texans would allow that to happen? Think they might fight back? Well, that's what our soldiers over there are facing. And yesterday, they were a couple of armored vehicles, U.S. armored vehicles, were moving about that area, and they were confronted by Russian and Syrian forces. Russia was invited in there by their ally, Syria. And they're not happy about it. And the villagers, so some of which, some of the people around there, we've now killed, because they're getting mad that the Americans have invaded, occupied part of their country, and are stealing their oil. We've put our troops in this incredibly hostile area. Yesterday, a Russian convoy of armored vehicles descended on these couple of American armored vehicles, ran them off the road, bashed into them. There were helicopters. I mean, if anything had broken out, every one of those soldiers was dead as a doornail. They're sitting ducks over there. Now, again, an American oil company is profiting from this. Are you? No. Am I? No. Are the troops that were probably scared out of their minds yesterday as they were surrounded by Russian and Syrian forces? No, they're not profiting at all. And I do want to say, I mean, I always try to give a little good news. None of the executives, none of the employees of the American oil company that's involved in stealing the oil and profiting from it were harmed yesterday, but several American troops were injured. Dramatic video, which emerged Tuesday, shows the latest close call between U.S., Russia, and Syrian national forces, which are jostling for control of northeast Syria. This is accepted by a lot of people, probably people who are listening to me right now. Again, I think you'd have a problem if China just came over and said, West Texas oil fields, that's ours now. We're gonna secure it. Would you allow it if China said, we need to secure it? If they said, Trump is a bad president, he's a bad guy, so we're going to go over to America and secure West Texas oil fields. You let him get away with that? Yeah, I didn't think so. But for some reason, we think it's different, that we should be able to fly halfway around the world. It's funny because Mike Pompeo actually... our incredibly rotund Secretary of State did his little speech the other night from Israel, from Jerusalem. So he's in the neighborhood. I thought, it'd be nice if maybe if he slid up. You know, this is part of his little plan. It'd be nice if he slid over to Syria and did a little time on the front lines with our brothers and sisters in uniform. I mean, he's in the neighborhood. Maybe he could slide by and do an 18-month deployment. This is after a prior incident resulted in a rare exchange of fire at a Syrian army checkpoint, killing two Syrian soldiers. Now, those Syrian soldiers weren't attacking New York. They were in their own country, just being the army in their own country. And our troops were forced to fire on them because they were surrounding U.S. troops there. We've essentially just put a bunch of sitting ducks in the middle of Syria. Mike Pompeo is just waiting for something to happen so that he can order more troops back into Syria. I like to say what Mike Pompeo views our troops in Syria as is, well, number one, they're the security force for an American oil company. And they're also bait. Mike Pompeo knows all it takes is he just wants to see something happen so that he can get those troops back in there. Unfortunately, Trump's gone along with this. Trump is the one who has ordered them in there to, again, air quotes here in the studio, secure the oil. But you need to see, I don't think I can really put it into words, you need to see American armored vehicles trying to run away from Russian and Syrian forces. Now, they had to. I'm not calling into question their bravery or courageousness. They had to. They're in a foreign country where they have no business. Not their fault. Mike Pompeo and Donald Trump's fault. Oh, and Mark Esper, the current Secretary of Defense, the former Raytheon lobbyist who runs the Defense Department now. But you need to watch these American soldiers essentially trying to flee for their lives. It's on video. The Russians took video of it. And see the Russian armored vehicle sideswipe the Americans as they're trying to flee. Helicopters overhead. Can you imagine? I mean, I think it's a good thought exercise. Imagine the Chinese coming in and saying, we're taking the West Texas oil fields. Can you imagine the harassment they might get from, I mean, ordinary citizens in Texas would be mad. Do you think our military might try to surround it and take those oil fields back? What do you think would happen to 1,000, 2,000 Chinese soldiers who come in and try to patrol all of West Texas oil fields? Because that's what it is. This is, I think it's like 160 square miles, something like that. We've got 1,000. So they're always having to patrol and go around. And they're basically running a security operation for a private private company, an American oil company, a company that was founded, I think, in 2018. I'm going to have to look into that. We know there's some cronies in that thing. Just imagine, though, this 1,000 Chinese troops in Texas. How safe do you think they'd be? How long do you think Americans would put up with the Chinese or the 1,000 Chinese troops in West Texas taking over the oil fields? You think their lives would be in any danger? Yeah. Well, that's where we're putting our troops. That's the danger we're putting our troops into. Nobody's paying any attention. But some injuries yesterday. This keeps accelerating. These kinds of little incidents, as you would expect, again, if you had 1,000 Chinese trying to secure West Texas oil fields, you can imagine that would probably escalate at some point. We might want to get that oil back. Yeah. Well, we expect different things from other countries. How dare they? We're just trying to secure it for the good people. They'd use it for bad things. Huh. I bet you Chinese would tell their people the same thing. It's quite amazing, but the video is so stunning. It's just so lucky that nobody with the oil companies that are profiting from this were harmed. And I wanted to let you know also that all of the executives with Raytheon and General Dynamics are still safe at their Connecticut country clubs, and no harm came to any of them either.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 1039 WYEB. Phone number here, 601-879-0002. You want to call into the show. I did a lot of talking about this theft here. The Federal Reserve met today, and they said, oh, they're going to keep interest rates. They don't care about inflation anymore. I feel like I should just plug in my Monday segment about how these low interest rates are a wealth transfer from the American saver up to the biggest globalist, the most croniest corporations that get these zero interest rates. It's money straight from the American saver's pocket, straight into the elite's pockets. And the Federal Reserve just said, look, we're going to keep these interest rates low for, I mean, the foreseeable future. I saw one analysis where somebody said they thought that zero interest rate policy would essentially be around for 40 years. See, they can't get out of it now. Here's the trap. If you're interested, I'm interested, and it's my show, so I'm going to talk about it for a second. People need this education. They really do. Whether you want it or not, it's that's up to you. You're in charge of the dial, and you're in there. But here's the game. What happens is you lower interest rates really low. And Trump was so right when he told us during his campaign that having low interest rates during Barack Obama's entire tenure was just such a disaster. Trump was so right. Of course, he's completely done a 180-degree turn on that and says now he wants them down at zero or into negatives. That's one of the reasons I voted for him, so he's betrayed me on that. And this is, it's pretty catastrophic. So here's what happens. You lower interest rates down to necessarily, you know, to basically zero, and you allow these big corporations to borrow money at that level. So the corporations borrow a ton of money because, I mean, why wouldn't you? It's essentially free money. You can use it now, pay it back later. You don't have to pay any interest on it. There's no downsides. Beautiful for them. You and me, we don't get access to 0% money. But for them, you can understand. They'll load up on that debt. And what they did with a lot of it was they borrowed a bunch of money at 0% and they bought back their own stock. Now, what this did was manipulate the value of their stock to make it appear more valuable. This made the stock go up, and when stocks go up, the executives get big fat bonuses. It has nothing to do with the operations of the stock of the company anymore. You don't have to sell more. You don't have to cut costs and increase profits. You don't have to do any of that silly stuff. You just go to the Federal Reserve, and you say, give me some of that sweet taxpayer-backed 0% interest money. And they get on their keyboard, and they send it off to you. It's not quite that simple, but it's easy enough to explain that way. And they take that money and they load their corporations up with debt so they can juice their stock right now to qualify for big bonuses. Problem is they don't have any way. Their profits aren't expanding. I mean, we've got an economy that's essentially dead right now. Coming back a little bit, but it's been destroyed. So they don't have any new sales and new revenue to pay back this debt. So they just keep it on the books. But what do they care? They're not paying any interest on it. They'll get to it later. The problem is what happens later when interest rates start to go up and they have to refinance that debt at 2%. Suddenly, they go, oh my gosh, we didn't notice, but we'd borrowed $100 billion. That means every year out of our profits, we're going to have $2 billion in interest. We can't have that. That'll crush our company. And the Federal Reserve can't let that happen because they know that a bunch of companies will go belly up because they've got so much debt, they can't afford to pay interest on that debt. So if the Federal Reserve ever lets interest rates go up, it will crush the economy. So they won't. And it will continue to mean more and more and more and more debt and less and less and less retirement returns for us out here, people who want a stable, safe way to invest and save money. It also does another thing, too, to insurance companies who make their money on investment returns. See, a lot of insurance companies, they take in premiums from you and me. And what they do is they invest those premiums before paying out a claim, and that's really how they make their money. You know, they adjust their premiums to say, okay, we know we're going to have to, or they use these actuaries and say, we know we're going to have to pay out this much, our chances of paying out on this policy, whether it's health or life or anything like that. So they figure it all out to try to match the premiums with their outlay down the road. But the real money is in collecting the premiums and then putting that money into some safe investments and pulling off interest off of that money that filters through their company. Now they can't get that interest. So what are they going to have to do? They're going to have to increase premiums to make money. There's your insurance premiums right there. What about pension plans? Millions and millions of Americans are sitting back waiting to collect that pension, or maybe they're already on it. Well, pension plans, the way they survive is they take in all your money and your pension contributions or the contributions from the company, and they take it out there and they invest it. Now, they want to invest it safely, right? They don't want to put a whole pension plan into tech stocks that suddenly dive and the pension goes bust. So they say, well, we'll get a few stocks and maybe some things like that, but we want to have a real core in, solid interest-earning instruments that are very safe so that the pension plan doesn't blow up. Well, now they can't do that because when they try to put it into safe, solid investments, they're only getting 0.5% in return. They used to get 6%. Now they're getting 0.5%, maybe 1%, 1.5% on a 30-year treasury. So pension plans are either going to have to start collecting more money from you if you're contributing to a pension plan, or corporations who might use money to hire more people instead are going to have to start using that money they have in their company to put more money in their pension plan to keep it afloat because the low interest rates are not providing the income it used to provide. I mean, I can't tell you. I could do a whole show. I won't. But I could do a whole show on the disastrous effects of low interest rates. They're monetary heroin is what they are. And we're addicted. And when they dared try to wean us off a little bit of that heroin a couple of years ago, do you remember when they let interest rate? They actually did some interest rate increases, and Trump screamed, no! He talked about what a terrible thing they were doing. They were trying to wean us off a little bit of the heroin. Well, we didn't want that. We said, no, give us that fix again. And they went, okay, we can't afford the withdrawal. We can't get off this heroin. We're just going to go full blower, full-on heroin addicts. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a heroin addict in your family. I have not. I don't know if I've ever really even known anybody addicted to heroin, but my understanding is it doesn't end well. Heroin's not a vitamin. I do know that. So when you stay on heroin and you won't even make any attempts to get off of it, eventually you OD and you die. And that's what they're doing to our economy right now. Barack Obama did it for 8 years. That man of the people enriched corporations and took the... And when you look at a chart of wealth inequality in this country during the Barack Obama administration, it is crazy how much money filtered up to that top 0.01% while American standard of living went down. And yet somehow, you know, with media coverage and a bunch of political pandering, he was still painted as some man of the people with his Citigroup cabinet. And now Donald Trump's doing it. George Bush did it too. George Bush was the first one to bail out the banks. And now Trump's doing it too. Nobody cares. There's no Tea Party out there anywhere anymore. Used to be a Tea Party. You remember that? This is so cute. Yeah, I could do an entire show. Man, I could probably do an entire week. It'd really take you through every single way that what the Federal Reserve is doing, aided and abetted by Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. He's the former Goldman Sachs banker that runs the Treasury, right? Now, I know there's a lot of people out there who say that this is all by design, that Trump is taking down the Federal Reserve. I think you're dead wrong. There's no evidence of that whatsoever. Here's the problem I have with that theory is you would have to assume that the Federal Reserve isn't noticing that they're being set up, that all of the big banks who own the Federal Reserve and own our politicians don't notice that they're being set up for a fall and they're just going along with it willingly. Yeah, right. Right. I'm sure that's going to happen. I mean, there's not a lick of evidence of it anywhere. The Federal Reserve has gotten more powerful, in particular over the last 6 months. And when you talk about the Federal Reserve, I know it's boring, Mike. Talk about LeBron James. When you talk about the Federal Reserve, I should just insert the term globalist. That seems to wake people up. Federal Reserve is a globalist operation. Jeff Bezos, who just crossed the $200 billion mark at Amazon from their policies, is a globalist. Apple, that just created its first or just crossed the $2 trillion company valuation for the first time in human history, they are a globalist corporation. The stock market that's at all-time record highs helps anyone, anyone, anyone. The globalists, they have most of the assets. Now, your 401k may be up. God bless you. I'm thrilled to death with whatever average everyday Americans get out of a stock market run-up, but the vast majority of it is not with us. So the globalists and the financial elites continue to get richer and richer, and the Federal Reserve said just today they're going to keep this game going. No end in sight. And for those of you out there who are getting close to retirement or you're in retirement, it's almost laughable that there's no anger out there. What are you doing out there if you're in your 70s or your 80s and you know before you retired that you saw your parents earning 8% on the money that they set aside made for a nice little retirement? They could just sit back with solid CDs and bonds, things that weren't real volatile, and just count on that 8% a year. You're getting half a 1%, and you don't understand that that's not good? I mean, maybe there are groups of senior citizens out there that are actually angry about this, that understand this scam, this theft of their retirement savings. But I certainly don't hear anything from any of them. And I guess it's kind of like boiling a frog, right? They just lowered interest rates and then lowered them a little more and then lowered them a little more and then lowered them some more. And so now you just think, when I put money into a savings account, I get 0.25%. I guess that's if any Americans have any money to actually put into a savings account. I did the story the other day that it takes 53 weeks of labor now for the average American to cover their necessities. 53 weeks. That's right. Yep. You heard me right. So maybe people don't care about the savings rate because they don't have any money to save. What they have done to the economic system in this country is staggering. And it's worse now than it's ever been. It's been getting steadily worse, particularly since 2008. This party really got started in the 70s. Ronald Reagan didn't like it, though. I mean, at least Ronald Reagan got his Fed chief to raise interest rates and choke this thing off before the inflation took off. This time, the Federal Reserve just came out and said today, we don't care what inflation is. We don't care what you peons end up paying for a loaf of bread or a gallon of gas. We don't care. We're going to let the dollar fall. We're going to destroy your purchasing power in order to save Wall Street. That's what they said today. That's not how they said it, but that's what they said. But by all means, watch the Democratic National Convention. Watch the Republican National Convention. That's where the action's at. That's the sexy stuff. So sad. Be right back.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
Final segment of today's show. Look, if there's one message of this thing, it's I just wish people would realize we are all, 99.99% of us are all being harmed by this system that's been created by that moneyed class. That moneyed class that people started to recognize. And, you know, I mean, that's one of the reasons Bernie Sanders got so popular. I disagree with those policies, and I would implore anybody who wants to support a socialist movement to really look at socialism. I'll explain it to you. It's an economic system that does not work. You're not going to do well under socialism. Let me just tell you that. You'll get just enough to keep you alive, basically. There's no joy in a socialist system. But the system is also what people woke up to on the right, and they elected Donald Trump because they knew they were getting screwed by the system. The problem is that we can't all realize we're all getting screwed by this deal. I mean, this story here, too, this is just amazing. I didn't plan on covering this. I mean, I was going to talk about this kid in Kenosha, this kid who's arrested for murder. I saw the video of him. Now, the caveat is, you know, these videos, you never see the whole things. And I don't like to jump out there on a one clip of a video. Like, everybody waits for that clip of the video that bolsters what they already think. And I really try to just deal with the truth here. But seeing that kid on his back in the middle of the street as he is getting pummeled by people, if that's what I saw, this poor kid is about to get spit up and chewed out by this same system. The one that's screwing the violent thugs out there that created the conditions that turned them into thugs and this kid. Hopefully there's some justice for this kid. I'll probably talk about it more tomorrow. But it's this killing in the streets, this fighting in the streets, this fighting on Twitter like a bunch of adolescent children. And yet the real problems that we face, we all face together, but nobody will recognize it. And the political parties don't want you to realize that either. Because you won't be allied to them. And they've let this happen. Both parties, both of these parties have sat back and allowed this great theft, this destruction of the middle class. Both parties sat by. They encourage it. They say nothing about it. They just allow it to happen. And they're happy to see you fighting in the streets. They don't care. Listen to this story, though. I hate to finish on a down note, but boy, I can't go without saying this one. Listen to this story. Every week, Tony Overby comes to a pediatric nursing home near New York City to talk to his daughter, Tonkia, through the black metal fence. He can't visit her inside because of state rules aimed at preventing spread of COVID coronavirus. Most of the 109 children and young people at the home haven't been able to hug or kiss their parents for 5 months. Visits inside stopped in early March. Here's the headline to this story. 5 months without a kiss, parents plead to visit their own children. It actually just says, 5 months without a kiss. Parents plead to visit children. It's their own children. The government, and I want you to listen to this girl. This is a terribly handicapped girl that's in this place. Hey, Nikaboo, Mr. Overby called out to his daughter over a recent morning as she sat silently in a wheelchair on the other side of the high fence at Elizabeth Seton Children's Center. Told you I'd be back, he says this from a distance. Now 20 years old, Tonkia has lived in the center since she was 12. She lost her eyesight, some brain development, and the use of her limbs after a severe asthma attack deprived her of oxygen for too long. This poor girl has been deprived of the use of her limbs, her eyesight. She's stuck in a wheelchair, and now the state is depriving her of even human interaction, any love from her own parents. How do you, as a parent, I got to tell you, if that's my kid, you see me on the news. You'll see my mugshot for whatever I do to say I'll be damned if you're going to put me behind a black fence for 5 months. What, you're scared my daughter, who's barely even existing with what's happened to her, you're scared she might get COVID? Test me. Let me. I mean, the insanity of this. But this is how much power Americans have handed over to their overlords here. This is why I'm a libertarian. Republicans hand over power. Democrats love to give away power because Democrats have been convinced they're helpless little children. The government's the only way they can even survive. I don't know why conservatives keep handing over their power, but they do. And of course, this is in New York and Cuomo State. I get it. But these stories are across the country. Won't let a parent see their own child for 5 months to give them a hug and a kiss. This is sick, and it needs to stop. And hopefully, we'll see people start to rise up against this stuff at some point before it's too late. That's all the time I've got. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.